Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net.
Welcome to Star Wars Fans to episode 83 of Tatooine Sons. We know, everyone's heard the Kenobi rumors before, but this week more specifics came out and were verified by several reputable sources. We'll break down the rumors, talk about what Obi-Wan has been doing on Tatooine, and what the series might be all about. Plus, we'll catch up on some hot takes and get ready for the Colorado Springs Comic Con.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I'm BB Nate. I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans.
We aren't allowed to say that anymore.
Or are we?
Okay.
If you're not a Star Wars fan, then you may not know that there's a huge difference between Achuta and Bleep.
Achuta.
There's a huge difference.
Because we have not been saying bad things to Wars fans for 83 episodes.
83 episodes.
Plus the bonus episodes.
I have not been cursing you guys out, I promise.
Yeah, we should probably explain what that's all about in a minute.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
So if you tuned in last week, you realize that as we were beginning the episode, we found out for Pablo Hidalgo that the phrase Achuta, was apparently an untranslatable vulgarity of the highest insult. Basically saying, you know, you Star Wars fans every episode, which made us feel a little bit uncomfortable. So after the show, I continued to research some things. The next day, I reached back out to Pablo, and Pablo made it very clear that Achuta with an A
as opposed to an E
is much different Hatties than Achuta with an E. Achuta actually means Samuel.
Hello,
which is exactly what we thought it meant. But then we got this reached out a couple weeks ago by somebody that said that it meant something very different, and it sent me down the rabbit hole where I
freaked me out too.
So maybe if you are a Star Wars fan, you may not know that there's a big difference between those two phrases. But just to be clear, we are not cursing at you every time we open the show.
Because I know what I'm talking about. Before, like at the beginning of this podcast, I looked it up to make sure. And Achuta meant hello. So yes. I know what I'm doing, okay?
Yeah. So
someone just decided to cause a little firestorm and give me a panic attack.
I rid of all my papers here, so I should probably get them.
Smart.
Yeah.
But no, we're good. Crisis averted.
Crisis averted. Well, we're just a couple of days. By the time you guys get this, it'll be the day of the start of Colorado Springs Comic Con. Woo! Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to see, there's going to be a special panel on, or we're going to be there all weekend at Colorado Springs Comic Con. But especially Saturday evening, afternoon, there's going to be a special Star Wars centric panel with Brian Harry, Mark Dodson, a couple of other guys that have been around the Star Wars world a little bit, talking about what it's like to be in Star Wars. So we're excited about that. We're going to make that a priority. What's the thing you're kind of excited about, the Batman panel, BB Nate?
Yes, I don't remember what the panel itself is called.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called either, but it's basically a couple of different comic book writers for Batman that are talking about different characterizations of Batman and stuff, which is a big deal to you. We'll probably drop by the William Shatner panel just because, I mean, it's Captain Kirk, for God's sake. You know, we got to be there for that.
Pay homage to
Maybe we can get him and Mark Hamill to get into a Twitter battle again with that. I'll say, oh, that's what I'll do. I'll tweet to Mark that day and say, if you could ask, we're here at the Colorado Springs Comic Con, and William Shatner's getting ready to do a panel, and if you could ask him any question, what would you ask him?
I got a bad feeling about this.
So maybe we can get Mark Hamill to
notice us.
To, you know, just to have some fun with it. So, what are you looking forward to about the Comic Con in general?
Oh, just the fandom, really. I've always loved the fandom of cons. You know, just walking around, like, I don't know if this is what it is or if it'll be anything like this at Colorado Springs Comic Con, but, like, the show floor.
Oh, yeah, there is.
I've always loved walking around those things and just seeing fandom on
display. They have one panel room, and both of the floors are just full
showroom. Show floor. Yeah. It's in an old Sears in the mall.
Both floors.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. Big. I mean, I know it's not going to be Star Wars celebration level, but I mean, and everything's going to be mixed up, but it'll still be cool to see all that.
Yeah, so. You going
to
do the speed dating?
Probably not, no, because it's not Star Wars speed dating.
Oh, so are you saving that for Anaheim next year?
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going to do it?
Probably, I don't know.
Okay, we're taking your word for it.
I said probably.
It's been recorded now.
I said probably. Let it go on record that I said probably, maybe. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, so we're shifting our schedule around a little bit. You know, life, you know, if this was a full-time job for podcasting, we'd be on the same schedule every week, and it would never change, but it's not. it's a labor of love, and we love doing it, but sometimes schedules get shifted around, and so we're shifting it around a little bit now. I don't think our release schedules are going to be any different for our main episode. We're going to be doing our main episode release on Fridays, as we have been for the last few months. But I'm thinking it wouldn't hurt us at all to have the recording done a little bit earlier in the week. And Sam's editing those audios, so getting that up, getting it up to our Patreon supporters a little bit earlier. So goal is to have it to Patreon supporters by Tuesdays now, so they're getting it a good full 3 days before... the rest
of there's some incentive there.
Absolutely. And then we'll also be recording our once October hits, we'll be recording our Star Wars Resistance, rehashing the Resistance. If you didn't check out the episode that we did last week after the trailer dropped, episode zero, it's on our podcast feed, so you can check that out. But yeah, we'll be doing that regularly on Sundays after we watch the episode to be released on Mondays. And so, we'll just spend the time recording all at once is the idea. Plus, that'll open up the rest of the nights, the week, for some other things that I've got going on, work-related stuff. Cool. And so we'll be good to go on that. And we got a review. Now, I'm not sure.
I got a bad feeling.
That's just going to be the one. Let's go. Let's do this one, too.
This is madness.
I'm not sure if we read this one. I don't think we did. We all looked at it. And we can't remember reading this one. And I had every intention in the world of reading it when it came out. It's a fantastic review. Probably one of the most written and extensive reviews that we've ever gotten.
Yeah, it is pretty lengthy.
So I'm very thrilled about it.
Yeah.
So we wanted to read it, but I'm sorry if I didn't read it earlier. Because that would make, you know, that makes me sad. Because it's a great review, and I thought we did. But we didn't get any new ones this week, but this one came back back at the end of July, July 31st. It's called Oh My Star Wars Pie.
I can't help but think.
Maybe that's from they talked about that from the episode where Mom is baking pies.
Could be.
It's very possible,
But I can't help but think of The Saga Begins by Weird Al.
I played that at work the other day.
It's Anakin guy, but it's based off American Pie.
What'd they think?
Oh My Star Wars Pie, 5 stars. Let me read this. This is from Arcana. Arcona? A-R-C-O-N-N-A. Listening to these folks really dig into a Star Wars fan theory to explore how it might work, why it might be true, etc., is seriously one of the best uses of an hour I can think of.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. It keeps going. I mean, unless you're not a Star Wars fan. And if you're not, well, you're beyond help, is what they said with those tongue sticking out emoji. Tatooine Sons is really stellar at giving you a look at a lot of what is going on in Star Wars in the community, from old to new and new to old. It's also a generational show, which we desperately need more of to bridge the gap between fandoms and to show just what makes this whole Star Wars thing so wonderful. Everyone has an entry point, and everyone can be a giant uber nerd with a side of love. Give yourself this podcast. You won't regret it.
Wow. Great kid. Don't get cocky.
Yeah, that was very kind. Yeah,
wow. Thank you,
Arcana. That was... We met a lot. So
puffing up our egos again.
I know. My goodness. So I guess on that note, we should probably talk some Star Wars.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
All right. So let's get into the podcast poll results.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question until after I've done it.
What?
Last week's podcast poll of the week was brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Tatooine Sons. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your you can use it on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, desktop, whatever you want. Consider picking up A Crash of Fate by Zoraida Cordova or Star Wars Myths and Fables by George Mann. Pretty sure that Galaxy's Edge, Black Spire Outpost is coming out
this week.
The Black Spire?
Yeah, I think so.
It's coming out on Tuesday. So by the time this episode airs, that'll be out. So that'll be good. All right. So last week's podcast poll of the week was, are you excited about the possibility of Palpatine returning with an army of Sith in The Rise of Skywalker?
Little interjection here. I don't know if this really alters our theory too much, but I remember seeing that it's confirmed that the Sith troopers or answer only to Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren.
Yeah, I don't think it alters our theory at all, because the theory basically had them loyal to the Knights of Ren and Kylo Ren, and then our theory going back several weeks, maybe even months ago, was that Kylo Ren will somehow turn good, but the Knights of Ren and the Sith troopers, when we did that episode, are like the ultimate bad guys, and they will be so evil that Hux will enlist the help of the Resistance. They will join forces. First Order and the Resistance will join forces against Palpatine, the Knights of Ren, and the Sith troopers, which is why the Sith troopers are red. So I don't see why that would necessarily altered that.
And there's something a little ironic about this poll results.
What's that?
I'm just gonna let you
read. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. So we have four. Now the poll still got a couple of days when we're recording this because we changed our recording schedule. But at this point, these are the numbers. We had four different options. Oh yeah, remember we did that?
Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah. Anxious or other comment below 5%. Other comment below. We'll get to a couple comments.
It's more than that it usually has.
It does. Meh and anxious are tied at 15 each. With that. And oh yeah. Well, it's a 66%. So, execute order 66, ironically.
It's kind of that's a quote as well. Ironic. That's why it's
interesting. All right, let's read some of our results here, or some of the comments on the poll then.
So this one is from Jumping into Hyperspace.
Yeah, those guys were on the show right after Celebration.
Yeah, they're super cool. Definitely awesome. Check them out. They said, absolutely excited for Palpatine's return, but definitely nervous as far as what this means for Vader's redemption.
That's an interesting idea. What do you think about that, BB Nate? How it may alter the idea of Vader being redeemed if Palpatine is able to return because he didn't fully die. And he's not maybe they're meaning it more from the Chosen One perspective, but what do you think about Vader's redemption? Do you think it has an impact on that, BB Nate?
Most likely. I think it has a big impact because we're getting a lot of Vader-centered content right now. I can think of one with Vader Immortal, which is talking a lot about some weird stuff.
Weird. Anyway.
Really weird.
Yeah.
But I think it could have some stuff to do with it.
All right. Interesting. What about you, Sam?
I'm kind of slow tonight, and I'm not quite understanding what they mean as to how that would impact Vader's.
Well, Vader is supposedly redeemed through the act of killing Palpatine.
He was supposed to bring balance to the Force, and if Palpatine came back. Okay. No, that is a good point. I hadn't thought of that. But we've talked lots of times about this, and Snoke himself said it, you know. I forget the exact quote, but, you know, darkness rises and light to meet, you know? So there's got to be this balance between the dark and the light. And perhaps at the time there was an imbalance of some sort. Mm-hmm. Maybe
Luke said it himself.
Right.
Powerful light, powerful dark.
Yeah. Right. So perhaps Palpatine had to come back to bring balance to the Force.
I don't know, man. We're getting my head's hurt thinking about all that. All right. Star Wars Dextrous. Great content on his Twitter page, by the way. Just look up. Just search it. I think it's @_Obi_Don_Kenobi is what the whole Twitter handle is. But he makes these amazing animated images. And he did some from the Vanity Fair images, and he does them regularly, and we think he's absolutely amazing. Check out his Twitter feed, and I'm not sure if he's on Instagram or not, but I know he's doing it all on Twitter. He says, no doubt, it'll be like World War II, but instead of World War, it'll be the Great Galactic War. I do think the First Order will ally with the Resistance. This guy's smart. Because there will be another great purge, but it won't involve the good guys. The Emperor will purge the First Order. Mm. So the Emperor is going to be coming in, taking on the First Order, and that's what's going to create that. I think that's an interesting one. Yeah.
This next one's by Ricky Howell, and his Twitter handle is @WookieHowell.
But not Howell like in howling, but like Howell is in H-O-W-E-L-L.
Yes. Yep. Okay. He said, I don't care to speculate.
I don't care to speculate.
But I remain open-minded. It's all about the execution for me. But if he does have some sort of army, it was foreseen long ago.
I foresee an army of Force-talented spies in my service, trained in the dark side to peer into
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I tried. I thought for a second I almost had it.
Every corner of the galaxy from afar.
Yeah, that's a quote
from... from the Emperor in Season 2, Episode 3 of The Clone Wars, Children of the Force.
But he's being the Darth Sidious in that.
Yeah, I remember
that. Well, yeah. Obviously, he's not sitting there as Chancellor. Just like,
I got an army of Sith Force. That's the one where they all went into the Kyber cave?
No, this is, I think, the one where... we learn sort of Ahsoka's background. They were trying to steal Force children, and Ahsoka is sent to go.
We need to rewatch the series.
We don't have it yet, but when Disney Plus comes out,
we're going to watch Season 7 first, and then rewatch the series.
Well, no, Season 7 won't be out right away, they said. Yeah, I know.
Will all Clone Wars be?
Yes, it will. Season 6? Episodes 1 through 6. They said that.
Seasons 1 through 6?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Will they be in chronological order, though? They should have function.
No, I don't think that they should.
They should, they should have like a sort function.
Yeah. Like chronological or episodic.
Yeah.
Because it's not in chronological order. Most people don't realize that. It's all over the board. It's like a Star Wars movie series.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
Then they should have little lines in the episodes for like 15 minute little breaks, like time to take a break.
Yeah.
Like you've been watching for a little too long.
It's been 5 hours now.
Yeah, that happened to us when we were binging the first time. So, all right. Well, I guess we should move on. All right, the rumors about Star Wars films are taking more twists and turns than a Friday afternoon soap opera. Rian Johnson's supposedly canceled trilogy is still on. The Game of Thrones guys trilogy may not even be written by them. And apparently every theme in the history of Star Wars films will be present in The Rise of Skywalker. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news? Are the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
So last week, we just went to a movie right before recording this. We got to go see Blinded by the Light.
Yeah.
To each his own. I liked it. I mean, I didn't think it was amazing. I mean, but I thought it was an enjoyable movie. Okay. Nobody else in my family did. But, I thought it was good. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is because, there may have been one crazy Star Wars fan in the audience that cheered at the beginning of the Knives Out trailer.
Yeah.
When it said something about from Rian Johnson, the director of Star Wars The Last Jedi. I don't know who this guy was, but obviously he's a pretty big fan of Rian Johnson. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was me.
Okay, but it's underneath Looper. What's Looper?
Looper's another movie that he did that was like kind of what put him on the map.
I think I remember them.
It's a time travel movie. It's got Bruce Willis in it. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
We should watch it because it's Rian Johnson.
Because it's Rian Johnson. Yeah, I agree.
I watched it just in an airport flying back from some meeting I had. I downloaded it on my...
Was it any good?
Yeah, I don't think I actually got to finish it, so...
Well, we should watch it.
We'll have to see. Yeah. Anyway, so he's up in the Toronto... at the Toronto Film Festival, and he was being interviewed about Knives Out, because that movie's coming out, getting unbelievable critical acclaim. Can't wait to see it.
Looks pretty good.
In November.
What?
Yeah.
That can't be right. Yeah, this is Rian Johnson.
I know. Anyway, and then during the conversation, he just all of a sudden started talking about this... Star Wars trilogy.
Wait, he wasn't asked about it?
I think it was just him talking about it, but he started talking about how he's doing this Star Wars movie. Maybe they asked. Maybe the moderator asked him. It doesn't really matter. But this is from Observer.com. Is where I got this this article. We'll link to it in the show notes. Getting a movie made is such a laborious process that any film that actually makes it to the screen is a minor miracle. So for Rian Johnson to boast one of the Toronto International Film Festival's most anticipated premieres with the murder mystery Knives Out, while also working on a discreet new series of Star Wars movies for Lucasfilm, that I read all over a few months ago that those were canceled. And I remember this little tiny podcast with a couple of kids and their dad doing an episode called No, Rian Johnson's Trilogy is Not Canceled. But anyway.
What do we know?
I don't know. I mean, those guys are pretty smart. While speaking to The Observer ahead of Knives Out debut next month, when we will have additional coverage of the film and more from Johnson. Okay, that's them talking. He discussed the freedom from both projects afford him as a storyteller. This is a quote. I think that the fun and challenging part of it is to dive in, figure out what's exciting, and then figure out what it's going to be. He said, we're doing something that steps beyond the legacy characters.
So, meaning, like...
Impressive.
The main story... Main
Luke, Leia, Han...
Oh, I was getting that confused with Legends.
Kenobi.
Okay.
No, legacy characters.
Yeah. Okay.
What does that look like? To me, the blue sky element of it was what was most striking about it. I know the way that I'm coming at it and what it's fun about it for everyone in Lucasfilm is figuring out what's the next step. It really makes you think and figure out what the essence of Star Wars is for me and what that will look like moving forward. Samuel the Hutt. I thought this was canceled.
What's the blue sky element, though?
Oh, I can't help but sit there and see a canvas of blue paint that Bob Ross on that show puts out.
So basically meaning he can just...
He's got a blank canvas. He can do what he wants with it. Yeah, there sort of fits the story there. I mean, I know that obviously we didn't think that this series was ever... Or this trilogy never. Was ever canceled. There was never any evidence...
We were hoping it was never canceled, and we knew it wasn't.
When the announcement on StarWars.com never was taken down, it meant that it was still... An active
movie. And I'm still excited for this movie.
Yes. Okay. Samuel the Hutt, what do you think about Ryan's comments?
I think that's encouraging and really interesting and strange that he just kind of brought it up in the middle of an interview. Totally out of the blue. But I'm happy that Lucasfilm isn't listening to the 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And they're letting him go on and giving him free reign.
You don't think that they've got like a bunch of people like reading all the fandom menaces, tweets and posts and saying, yes, that's how we're going to go forward?
No,
I don't either.
Okay. You made me lose my train of thought.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that he's got so much free reign with it too. And he's going to be able to do it with characters that we haven't explored a whole lot or seen at all.
I think we're going with completely brand new characters.
Which could go, well, no, they wouldn't go with, I guess it could technically still go with like an Old Republic idea.
I don't ever think, maybe.
They just can't do characters from Legends. But anyway, No, I'm really happy that it's still going. I'm glad that he's got free reign. I'm really looking forward to it, and also looking forward to Knives Out. And I'm glad that he's not letting all the hate get to him. You know, that's got to be tough on a guy. So I'm glad he's pushing through and knowing that there are still people out there that support him and enjoy what he does.
BB Nate, what do you think?
Like we said, we never thought it was going to be canceled, and I'm excited that it's not canceled. I really like the idea of him doing his own trilogy. Loved The Last Jedi. So him doing three Star Wars movies is going to be great. I hope he doesn't seem like this kind of person, but I just hope he doesn't chicken out to the fans and just try to do fan service. I'm saying.
I think he's going to double down on his thought processes with it. What are you doing over there? Are you gonna participate in the show right now?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think it's telling. He has been saying I've heard for months now that once Knives Out was in the theaters, that was when he and Ram Bergman were going to be focusing exclusively on Star Wars, this trilogy. And it sounds to me like the plan has not changed in any way, shape, or form. Knives Out comes in November. When Knives Out is over, next thing you know, we're going to have The Rise of Skywalker hitting. And then sometime, I don't know, maybe August of next year, we'll have some pretty major announcements about Rian Johnson's new trilogy. Yep. This little thing called Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I don't know if you guys are going to be there, but I'm going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
You're going to do some speed dating there as well.
Mm. Oh, that's right. You said that earlier. That's right.
Probably.
You went on record with that.
Probably.
Yeah,
maybe.
He went on record.
I think I heard him say he was doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Well, it's on the tape, so you can listen to it yourself.
Yeah. All right, next topic. Benioff and Weiss could be scaling back their Star Wars series after a new deal with Netflix. This is from sci-fi.com, syfy.com. The Hollywood Reporter just released a new piece analyzing Benioff and Weiss's Netflix deal and the soundness of the streamer's investment in the showrunners, who were relatively unknown before Game of Thrones exploded into the most popular show in the world. And tucked inside the report is a little bit of information on their Star Wars trajectory. According to the Hollywood Reporter's report, Benioff and Weiss are now writing a treatment for a trilogy of Star Wars films with a commitment to script at least one of the films themselves. That's interesting because the original plan, or at least as we knew it, was that Benioff and Weiss would take screenplay duties on all three of their Star Wars films. And the Hollywood Reporter also notes that it's currently unclear whether they'll take on anything other than the writing duties. So, BB Nate, good news, bad news, or no news?
No news.
No news? Why?
I just don't think that it's that important. I think fans are still going to be excited if they're doing something with the Star Wars franchise. Just if it's just one movie and they're just writing it and not doing anything else, I think that people that are fans of Game of Thrones will still be excited for what's coming from them. But I really don't know what to expect from any of this, so I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I mean, as we know, we said before, we haven't watched an episode of Game of Thrones, so it's not our thing.
No idea.
So, Samuel the Hutt, what do you think? No news, good news, or bad news?
Well, it's not good news, and it's not bad news. So it's certainly not no news, so I'm not really... It's just news for me.
Just
but
news.
Huh? It's just news. But it's definitely interesting, because I was definitely under the impression that they were going to write and direct these movies. Didn't it mention that they might just only do one or something?
Yeah, so they're writing the entire script treatment. So the idea, I think, is they're going to give the skeleton of the trilogy's storyline.
The outline.
The complete outline of what the story of the three movies will be. They'll come up with that story, and then it sounds to me like they've committed only to, at this point, writing the first one of these movies. And then it could potentially be handed off to other directors and writers to come up with two and three of this trilogy. And at one point there was talk that they would be producing and directing and all that. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen at all.
It kind of sounds almost like the way they're handling The Mandalorian in some way, because Jon Favreau, he's directing the first one, right?
I believe so.
And then he's slating it off to other directors for other movies, including Dave Filoni for one or two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm happy about this. I don't know. Again, you said I don't know what to expect because we've never seen their directing style or their writing style. I would appreciate if they did a little bit more than give us an outline and then write the first movie. You know, I feel like they should maybe do a little bit more, but I don't know. Maybe that's just
I think it's just sort of what happens in Hollywood, you know, and they got a better deal. Mm-hmm. You know, they aren't again, and for me, I think this actually confirms something that we've been saying for the entire history of our show, this podcast. I don't think you're ever going to see Game of Thrones style content on Disney Plus. I don't think you're going to see M-rated. I don't think you're going to see some of the stuff that went on. I mean, there was clear sexual content, nudity, even incestuous storylines and stuff like that on Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, Luke did kiss Leia.
Yeah, I mean, that's as far as we're going to get. But you're never going to see that on Disney Plus. And the Benioff and Weiss stories, they tend to gravitate towards that idea. They can put that stuff all over Netflix. I have no doubt.
They already have all
that stuff. Yeah, that stuff's on Netflix. So the idea is they can go over, now that they've inked this deal with Netflix, they can go over there and do all that stuff. They aren't going to have a deal like that with Disney. So it sounds to me like they're like, you know, let's do these Star Wars movies. I think it'll be fun. It'll be great street cred for them. I think that they want to do some Star Wars, come up with some stories. I think they have probably a pretty good idea for a storyline, or Lucasfilm wouldn't be, and Bob Iger from Disney wouldn't be talking about it as being the first movie in 2022. But the reality is Benioff and Weiss may not be a fit long-term with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what this means. All right. Last one. The Rise of Skywalker will include every theme, Star Wars theme you've ever heard. This is from Esquire. .com. It says, speaking at an Academy of Scoring Arts score study for his brother's work on Jurassic Park earlier this month, percussionist Don Williams said that John recently started working on the Rise of Skywalker's music and has 135 minutes worth of music to write. That also gives a sense of how long the movie is. Williams mentioned themes for Leia, Yoda, the Phantom, and Darth, in quotations, which likely refer to Duel of the Fates, from the Phantom Menace and the Imperial March, respectively, but noted that his brother hides them so well that we'll have to listen closely. You'll be sitting there watching the film go by and go, oh, there it is. There's two bars of it, and it grabs you and takes you away, Don Williams said, before admitting he's regularly distracted when he hears a familiar theme while working on the score. Which theme are you most excited about having in T-Ross?
Well, for me, it's Anakin's theme, because that's, like, my favorite theme, because it actually has a little bit of a hint to another theme.
Which one?
The Imperial March. Because in Anakin's theme, there's, like, just a quick little tidbit of the actual Imperial March.
And, yeah, like what he's saying.
An allusion to it.
Right, and it's one of the most brilliant piece of the soundtrack, in my opinion.
And just like he was saying, you'll hear bits and pieces of the theme, and then it takes you away. Just like you were saying for Anakin's theme, you love how the Imperial March is in there for two bars.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes you away for the theme.
This is probably going to be one of the most fun soundtracks to listen to.
It's going
to
be the one that everybody goes back to now.
Right. I don't have, like, a favorite theme to say. I guess the Star Wars theme, because if I'm getting the Star Wars theme, that means I'm getting Star Wars. but, I mean, it's going to be weird hearing
Across the Stars, the Padme
Anakin love theme. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Yeah. It's going to be really weird.
I'm trying to figure out how he's going to fit all these in.
I'm interested to see, you know, he didn't write the soundtrack for Solo, A Star Wars Story, but he wrote
a theme
for Han.
Right. So that'll
Han Solo. And so I'm curious. I'm not 100% convinced, but I'm curious to see if Han Solo's theme is going to be in there. And if so, how they're going to fit that in there. That would be pretty flippin' amazing to hear that in there. We'll just have to wait. And we're only like 4 months away, guys.
Jeez.
Today's what the date.
I mean, it's both tomorrow.
Today's the 18th. So that means tomorrow's the night when we're recording this. Tomorrow's the 19th, which is the Thursday premiere date for Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. So we're 4 months.
Whew. That's both really close and really far.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard going to the theaters and not having to wait in line.
No, it's not.
That'll be fun.
Hopefully we'll be able to work out something we can do to get there early.
I mean, we can't wait in line.
I know. All right.
It's going to be sad.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to our main topic. For years, Star Wars fans have been clamoring. I put in a lot of big words for this one.
Clamoring.
I just did this for fun, just to see if I could get them all out. So let me start. For years, Star Wars fans have been clamoring for the return of Obi-Wan Kenobi in his own film. A little over a year ago, the consensus was that we were on the verge of an announcement when Ewan McGregor made an appearance at the red carpet premiere of Solo: A Star Wars Story. But the box office challenges of the film seemed to put a halt on future projects, Kenobi included. But recent reports have suggested that the story may be poised, see, that's another big one, to continue in serial form on Disney Plus. Now a plethora of new sources are claiming that not only is this series a go, but that McGregor may actually be directing several episodes himself. We've got the details, what has been happening with Canon Kenobi, and 5 theories for the series.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
Your lack of faith disturbing.
Well, Jordan Mason of Cinelinks.com reported Thursday that, according to 2 separate sources, I've heard that Ewan McGregor has actually put pen to paper and inked a contract to return as the iconic Jedi Master. I heard word of this recently, but I was sitting on it until, out of the blue, a second source reached out to me, and then he puts in parentheses, I hadn't gone digging on this one, saying the exact same thing. Again, this shouldn't come as a surprise, he says, considering how open McGregor has been in his desire to return to the Star Wars franchise. What's interesting to me, however, is the timing. While development on the Obi-Wan project has been in the early stages since the beginning of this year, according to Star Wars News Net, those guys are awesome, by the way.
Yep.
Locking in a contract means they're really moving forward on it. And then he updated later and says, update, incredibly happy to add to this report that Deadline, Variety, and The Hollywood Reporter have all independently confirmed our story from this morning. Hopefully this means you'll get some official announcement from Lucasfilm sooner rather than later. I think it's coming maybe even before D23. This actually airs at D23. Guys, what do you think? Are you excited about Kenobi?
Oh, heck yeah. What Star Wars fan wouldn't be? I mean, we've been begging.
Lots of Star Wars fans aren't. Haven't you been on social media the last week?
Yeah, a ton of our
people aren't excited about Kenobi. I thought every Star Wars fan wanted Kenobi.
No, people are flipping out. Why do we need Kenobi?
Disney is just money-grabbing now. Yeah. Those are the same people that asked for a Kenobi series.
Right. Anyway.
I'm super excited. I think it'll be really interesting to see. I'm guessing this is set on the time period while he's on Tatooine.
I'm almost certain that it has to be.
Which will be really interesting to see. Maybe we'll see him have some run-ins with bounty hunters. Anyway, I think it's going to be really interesting. And the fact that Deadline, Variety, and The Hollywood Reporter have all confirmed this story means it's pretty legit.
And Ron
they don't...
I don't trust Rotten Tomatoes.
No, Rob Domino's work with Warner Brothers.
That's good. Anyway.
These guys don't put out an article about that stuff unless it's pretty reputable. Express.com.
There could have been a lot of egg on their face if this is wrong.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm pretty certain that this is happening.
BB Nate, you excited?
I am, of course. Like Sam said, who isn't? But there's a lot of people that aren't, sadly. But I hope it's a shorter series. I know we got an announcement that's going to be 10 episodes, but still.
Latest information I'm seeing is it's going to be anywhere between, from what I understand, is like 4 to 6 episodes with potentially McGregor actually directing a few of those.
That's cool. Has he directed anything before?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, in some ways, I think that's really cool, but in other ways, it kind of worries me. I mean, yes, he knows Kenobi better than
any other living person.
Other than, yeah, a living person. I was going to say other than Alec Guinness himself, but he may know the character, but can he direct? You know what I mean? Not to be negative or mean or anything. It's just a legitimate concern I have.
Yeah, I believe that he can direct. I think that if he knows the character so well, I feel like he can direct the character. And I feel like he would take it as a badge of honor. Like, him being able to shape the story with his character. He wasn't able to do that with George Lucas in the prequel
trilogy. No, not at all.
And even though people...
But let's be honest. The Kenobi from the prequels... Was probably the best part of the prequels.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Absolutely. That's what all fans can agree on. Ewan McGregor was an amazing Kenobi in the prequels. I think that if he comes back to direct and act, I feel like it may be getting too much for him. That's a lot to do to be able to... Say,
it happens all the time, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about him being able to direct his own character. That's going to be the easy part. It's just directing the whole story. You know, that's a whole beast in and of itself.
Well, it's a short series, and I hope it's like an hour or
30 episode. It'll probably be long episodes, similar to Sherlock.
I think almost certainly what they've decided to do was take the script for the movie and expand on it. Add other content, create an episodic format of 4 to 6 hours. 4 to 6 episodes total. So instead of us getting a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie, we're getting 4 to 6 hours worth of, of the story that would have been the movie had, and my position has been clear, had Disney made a better choice of the time to release Solo and the marketing campaign behind it. I don't think it was the movie that was the problem. I think it was everything around the marketing and the movie release date. With it. Do you think we get something at D23? Do you think that that's what this is about? They're trying to ink the deal before D23 and make an announcement?
Yes, probably, because everything, we've been seeing kind of a pattern with Star Wars news this year. There's always been a major leak that's been confirmed, and then Disney announces.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm following you.
Sith Trooper.
Yeah, Sith Trooper.
The poster, I think, or no, that's something else. There's been a few instances. There's
been a couple,
But they held the title of and the Palpatine stuff from the trailer of T. Ross.
That's very true.
But that wasn't ever leaked.
Right. That's true.
So I'm thinking that, yes, we get something at D23 or before, and if we get something after, it's going to be pretty soon. But I feel like Disney's going to want to get all of their news out at their convention for the people
and
there.
If I correct me if I'm wrong, but D23 is primarily a stockholder shareholder thing, right?
No, or it's become much bigger than that.
Okay,
they literally call it D23 the ultimate fan experience.
Yeah, it's all just it's just a Disney convention. Okay. It's a Disney media convention, you know, for all their properties. So,
but I was going to say, you know, it would definitely drive up their stocks if they. When they announced this.
Well, here's the other thing, that now that I'm thinking about it as we're talking. Can you imagine anything that's going to be sort of the final, you know, nail in the coffin of Netflix? Which is Disney's... They're going for the jugular on Netflix with Disney Plus. The way that they're pricing it with the bundling it with Hulu and ESPN Plus, charging $6.99 instead of $11.99 for the series, for the thing, putting all this content. And if they then announce that they're in production on a Kenobi series, yeah, that's the nail in the coffin.
Benioff and Weiss made a very bad decision.
I think so.
But
I almost feel bad for Netflix.
I honestly, with Disney Plus, you get all of this amazing content with new Star Wars shows, new Marvel shows, new just Disney animated shows, and then you get all of the Disney animated stuff, all the Star Wars, everything. Then you get Hulu, which gives you everything else other than just Disney stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you get sports on top of that. Now, that's something that Netflix doesn't have.
You just can't do that.
Yeah. Well, so one of the criticisms of the Kenobi series from people that are... there's the group that's just, you know, the fandom menace is what we just label them as.
Yep, the 20%.
That group out there that's going to just just belittle and destroy everything that they do, Disney does. But there are those that are actually reasonably
criticized,
you know, having some concerns about what this would be about. And the concern that I'm hearing is that, well, you know, there's nothing happening on Tatooine for those 19 years or whatever after the Revenge of the Sith and the beginning of A New Hope with it. So I was doing some research. I came across an article on ScreenRant.com. I'll post the link to it in the show notes, where they walk through what Kenobi has done in canon since the resetting of canon in 2012 through the comics and things like that. And this guy's been busy already.
No, I didn't know about this.
Listen to some of these things. I'm going to read a bunch of the art. This is a lot from the article, so just, you know, bear with me on this. We'll go by segments here. Kenobi writes a journal for Luke Skywalker while in his exile on Tatooine. So he's spending the writing all of this story. It says, for those fans going by nothing but the films, one of the biggest changes made to the Star Wars canon is the introduction of the journals of old Ben Kenobi. Their first appearance came in the pages of Marvel's Star Wars number 7 in 2015. The canonical comic book that has already made massive changes to the Star Wars mythology.
Yeah, it's been huge.
This particular issue from Jason Aaron and Simone Bianchi began with the above passage, and I don't have the passage in here, but it's talking about him writing a journal. Obi-Wan made sure to record his experiences and wisdom for Luke Skywalker to someday read, which he is shown doing in the cockpit of his X-Wing, explaining where a great deal of Luke's knowledge about the Jedi and the Force came from. It's an unexpected method for Kenobi to essentially teach his student, and the one that provided several key insights into his life. So what do you guys think about this idea that Kenobi's been Kenobi wrote a journal?
Yeah. Why does he have an X-Wing?
Yeah, that kind of threw me off a little bit, too.
How?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't read the comic, because we haven't read that series.
X-Wings.
We picked up in episode, like, 50.
Assuming that this is taking place right after 3, X-Wings weren't a thing.
No.
Well, maybe the writer of this just doesn't know the difference between an X-Wing and an A-Wing or whatever.
Or a Jedi Starfighter.
Jedi Starfighter.
Anyway, but, yeah. That's a minor discrepancy.
It's cool, yeah.
That's really cool. Maybe one of the books.
I gotta get this series now. I know.
Maybe one of the books in the tree was Kenobi's journal.
Well, that would be an interesting little twist. If one of those books was his journal. I had never thought about
that. What I would really love is that if after they release the whole Kenobi series or something like that, they release the journal
as a book.
Yeah,
that cool. Would be neat.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that happens that he puts in this journal. It says, first one that we have on here is Kenobi didn't begin his time on Tatooine as a hermit. It says, Obi-Wan's journals confirm that he began his time on Tatooine living like most of the locals, frequenting the markets as much as any inhabitant of the harsh world. So it's possible that old Ben made connections and friends at first before he realized using his gifts risked more for the innocent than it gained, and he committed to a solitary existence. So what do you think? Do we get to see the Ewan McGregor version of Kenobi interacting on Mos Eisley and Mos Espa and dealing with the people?
I think this is really interesting.
Which is going to be great for our show, by the way.
Right.
I mean, the name recognition of Tatooine is going to go, it's going to be one of the most searched content things.
But, absolutely. But this is interesting to me because I was kind of worried as to what they would talk about in the series, because I had always assumed that as soon as Kenobi got onto Tatooine, he just became a hermit, lived out in the middle of nowhere, watching over Luke or whatever. It never really occurred to me that he could have lived like everyone else. So that definitely gives some things to do. We can have other characters and other connections, and maybe he's helping out a local here and there because they're in trouble or whatever. And I think that's really interesting. It definitely would give a setting.
Yeah. We see him in Rebels as an old hermit guy.
And that's the way he seems to be in A New Hope as well.
Right.
I'm just wondering. I'm hoping that we see something like this.
I hope we see some major element of, you know, maybe an entire episode built around why he stands over on the plateau with Luke and C-3PO and R2 and says Mos Eisley, "You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy." Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that. I mean, I can already see the fan cuts where they're taking scenes from from the Kenobi series and interjecting that into it and stuff like that. I think that that would be a lot of fun. Another one that's really interesting, it's about to get real heavy in here, guys, real quick. Kenobi brings an end to the story of Shmi Skywalker. He goes to Shmi's grave to apologize to her in the journal for losing her son. That's heavy. He had never met her, knew her only from Anakin's stories, but Qui-Gon had made her a promise, and Obi-Wan hadn't been able to keep it. As he stood there, looking at the stone, he felt an even deeper shame. Qui-Gon had left her there a slave, and Obi-Wan had done everything in his power to prevent Anakin's return.
I could just envision this part kind of in the series. I can envision just this at the end of an episode or something like that, but I can just envision him looking at the gravestone.
Can you imagine if we're seeing flashbacks to stuff from Mustafar while they're in the series and stuff?
I think, but he's just looking at the stone.
Him meeting Anakin for the first time, a flashback to that.
Yeah, I think
the emotional weight of this series could be through the roof, guys.
It may just seem like a big, like, oh my gosh, we're getting Kenobi,
but no, it feels like it's going to get heavy.
Yeah, I mean, he could just be standing there looking at her gravestone, and then you just hear the Imperial March theme.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, I failed.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, no, that's definitely heavy. Yeah, I mean, we had talked before about, you know, the reason that Anakin turned is because he was the embodiment of love and he wasn't able to love because of the Jedi Order. And if he had been able to save Shmi, it may have been a completely different story. But
should do like a what if for nothing to do with that Marvel with
right.
But for Star Wars.
But I don't know, this thought popped up in my head, which is unrelated but sort of related, about how maybe they'll base the series off the comics or this journal, and that'll help Ewan direct in that he's sort of got a almost a script to kind of go off of in a way. I don't know, it's sort of unrelated to what we're talking about, but I think it'd be interesting, and it would help him out, and that would help let him be able to direct, so just a thought.
There's also a scene within the comics of, I'm not quite sure what the context is, but these are like, this is a segment from it where Kenobi communes with Qui-Gon's Force Ghost. Now that happens in from a certain point of view, but we're told very clearly that that's sort of a soft canon, in from a certain point of view. It's sort of, it's not intended to be as canon as
what you other take thing. It as what you.
Yeah, it is literally from a certain point of view,
right?
Level type stuff. But then we see that there is a communing between him and Qui-Gon. I guess, you know, there's something going on. It says Obi-Wan let go of Ben Kenobi's house and broke through the wall between life and death. So I guess he let go of the place that he was as he was meditating.
He's zoned out.
His senses are sharp. It says he could hear every sound at once and also none of them. It took him a moment to focus on the voice he had most wanted to hear. Obi-Wan had only a moment before he was wrenched back into the physical world, but it was long enough to renew his hope. Obi-Wan, said Qui-Gon Jinn. He was sure the voice was stronger this time. Let go. Do we get to see Obi-Wan learning this power from Qui-Gon Jinn? And does, at some point in this series, does Liam Neeson make an appearance?
Well, I was always under the impression that Qui-Gon had never gone through enough training to be able to actually manifest.
Well, he does, though, but he manifests himself in the Clone Wars.
Okay. That would be a lot, really.
He has nothing else going on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe later on in the series when he's not, you know, kind of milling about the city and he's kind of off by himself.
Maybe there's a moment of, like, of crisis where he's feeling like he's doesn't have any direction as to what to do. You know, he can't be a Jedi anymore. He can't really interact with Luke. We'll talk about why maybe in a second. And so now he's figuring out what to do. And that's when he has this moment during meditation. He's trying to calm himself and he has this moment of connecting with Qui-Gon. That would be pretty cool. Yeah, that would be... Kenobi wages war against the Tusken Raiders.
This was sort of in the comics. From a certain point of view. Yeah. Or not necessarily.
And I mean, you gotta think about this. I remember reading one of the stories rooms from a certain point of view, and I remember that he does the same thing that Rey does, and scratches off a mark each day.
Oh, does he really?
I don't remember that.
That's kind of cool. Survival on Tatooine means bartering for what you need. And for Obi-Wan, that means communicating with the infamous Jawas in this. They're as shrewd as it gets, but their size makes them vulnerable to Tusken Raiders. And if fans want some action to go along with their drama, look no further than Star Wars number 15 when Obi-Wan takes on a gang of the scavengers all by himself and without his lightsaber.
Wow.
No wonder they flee in fear when he makes his original Star Wars introduction in A New Hope.
Yeah. I mean, I remember reading the Tusken Raider from a certain point of view story in the book, and they're talking about how, like, there's this wizard hermit that you don't want to mess with out in the desert, and the main character of that story is like, yeah, no, I can take him, and then it actually happens and he's like totally terrified by it. It's pretty amazing.
Well, Anakin did not do a good job when he killed the Tusken Raiders, because apparently,
well, that was just one camp of them.
I know, but I mean, I thought that the word had gotten around, like, oh my gosh, this guy killed an entire camp, but this guy doesn't have a lightsaber and is scaring them off using...
Well, and he's hiding his identity as a Jedi at this point, is what it sounds
like. It's just insane how Kenobi can do this much without his lightsaber or the Force.
Yeah. He goes on...
Yeah, he probably has to use
the Force. We see that Kenobi saves Luke's life more than once in the comics. The movies may suggest that Obi-Wan has merely observed Luke Skywalker as he grew from an infant to a teenager, but the Star Wars comics reveal he had far more hands-on approach. After all, Tatooine is a harsh place for anyone, let alone two innocent moisture farmers raising a troublesome little Force-sensitive. Yeah. Meaning Owen and Beru. In the pages of Star Wars number 7, Obi-Wan steps in to use his Jedi mind trick on a band of Jabba the Hutt's tax collectors. While helpful, Owen Lars eventually lets Obi-Wan know that he's aware of his interference, direct and indirect, in the above in this exchange that's coming. Owen says to Kenobi, ever since you showed up, mine is the only house for kilometers that's never been attacked by the Sand People. That was never raided by Jabba's thugs. To which Kenobi responds, Kobe-Wan Kenobi? Yeah. Sounds to me like you've been rather blessed, Owen. The Force works in mysterious ways. with that, what do you think?
As cheeky as ever.
Do we see... Owen and Beru, and a child version of Luke.
Totally,
cool, man.
I mean, and of course, definitely, because Owen and her, Owen doesn't like Obi-Wan.
Right, in A New Hope. Yeah. Maybe we understand that story better.
I mean, we hear a little bit of it in From a Certain Point of View, I believe, which again is soft canon, but you know, he doesn't approve of Ben. And I think we're going to find out why in this, because he's probably been interfering too much, or he puts them in danger indirectly by one of his actions or something.
All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But...
Do you want to see Owen and Beru?
Yes. Yes, I want to hear that story, but we also got to think of another part of canon that was also made of... Kenobi killed Maul.
Yeah, that's definitely on the list.
During this time. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has happened.
Right, exactly. Kenobi becomes Tatooine's most wanted.
Wow, that's probably why he goes in hiding.
The former Jedi Master may have kept his lightsaber concealed when taking on a gang of Tusken Raiders, but Obi-Wan does have to use it in combat at least once. As they've mentioned previously in their article, Obi-Wan uses his gifts to keep the Lars family free from Jabba's intimidation, among other small acts of defiance. Over time, the strange old man living out on the edges of the Dune scene becomes a problem that Jabba needs to solve. So he hires a bounty hunter to find him and kill him. Obviously, the bounty hunter, maybe that could be... I don't know.
Boba.
Obviously, the bounty hunter got more than he bargained for. This is a character that exists in Star Wars number 20. But the idea that even Ben Kenobi had criminals who wanted him dead only adds to his legacy as a fearsome soldier. What do you guys think about that? Do we see more of that? And we've always talked about the idea of Maul and Kira and Crimson Dawn against Jabba and the Hutt cartel, with Kenobi being stuck in the middle. Do we see something like that in this series?
It's still definitely possible.
I mean, I feel like this series is going to be complicated, just because it's going to be strange trying to figure out what we can do with Kenobi's story that would make the continuity fit. Because we have... I had thought we had nothing on Kenobi.
Now we've got a lot of
Now we have
things.
A lot. Now we got to fit everything into this. And we also have to keep the series interesting. And, I mean, not like in the sort of, like, it has to be action-packed. But they need some action in it, but they also need a lot of story development without messing up everything we already have. Mm-hmm. One little slip-up, one little mistake is going to change.
Well, that's where our friends over there at Lucasfilm Story Group have their job to cut out for them here.
But from what I'm seeing, most of these seem like they could just be short little stories.
Short things that happen over maybe
a week or something, you know? So they're not, I don't feel like it'll really interfere that much. They can throw a few in, into the series here and there and make sure they just follow the comics. But for the most part, I don't think they'll have a problem with continuity or coming up with content.
And then the last thing that this article mentions is the Great Drought. The early excerpts from the journals of Ben Kenobi find him just a few years into his exile, when his life as a Jedi remains fresh in his memory. And it also presents the greatest test of his heart, spirit, and duty to protect Luke unseen. Thanks to the coming of the Great Drought, a time when moisture is running out on Tatooine, Jabba's grasp on the weakest tightens, and people are dying every day because of it. As a Jedi who spent most of his adult life helping those in need, being forced to turn a blind eye to suffering takes a toll. The question at the heart of the above passage, which I'll read in a second, how Obi-Wan Kenobi forced himself to abandon the galaxy, might be the most compelling in his entire life story. It's told beautifully in the comics, but adapting it to the live-action canon would forge an even stronger connection between Obi-Wan's struggle and Luke Skywalker's own exile in The Last Jedi. The quote that it's mentioning there is, he's sitting there during this great drought, and he says, "You never trained me for this, Master Qui-Gon. You never taught me how to fade away."
Wow.
My heart hurts saying it.
It's going to be a heavy story.
It's going to be emotional, for sure.
I feel like... I don't get emotional at movies or Star Wars even, but I feel like I'm gonna hurt watching this series just because of everything that Obi-Wan has been through. And this whole time we've seen him in the prequels. He lost his master, he failed Anakin, he feels like he failed his master. There's so many things that have happened to him that he has to carry on his shoulders.
Yeah, and now there's all this suffering going on around him that he can't help with.
Yes.
It's tough.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do like a thumbs up, thumbs down. All right. You're going to have to say it. You can't show it because they can't see you.
Oh.
But here we've got five from another. I think this was Screen Rant. I'll post on this one as well. Kenobi series theories as far as possible storylines. We'll go from there, five through counting up to one. Obi-Wan learning how to become a Force ghost from other ghosts. Sam?
Well, I think we're going to have Qui-Gon, so yes.
I agree. I think it's going to be a fun thing.
Ben versus the Lars family?
I wouldn't say versus, but I think we're going to get some interactions.
I think we're going to get a little bit of a feud.
What about old Ben secretly aiding the rebellion from Tatooine?
Don't think so. I don't think that he really wanted
to. I don't know if we're going to go that far in the storyline.
No. I don't feel like we're going to be seeing that in Justice series. I feel like it takes really close after Revenge of the Sith. I don't think that we're going to get much talk about the rebellion yet.
Yeah. So I'd probably have to go with a thumbs down on that one.
Yes. What about a series that covers the entire 18, 19 years of his exile?
Ages in through it. I don't think so.
Too much?
Yeah, too much.
And I feel like it would just get way too complicated and it did. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Doesn't sit right with me. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but I don't think they're going to go there.
All right. What about a Darth Maul-centric arc that culminates in the retelling of that big Twin Suns episode from Star Wars Rebels, where they redo it live action?
Yes, I would love it, but no, I don't think it'll happen.
I think they need to let Twin Suns be Rebels.
Yes, let Twin Suns be Twin Suns. Let Steven Stanton have his light instead of Ewan McGregor being the one that overshadows and makes it.
And I'd be worried that they might retcon it and have this big battle just to make the fans happy.
And then it's got to bring in Ezra Bridger.
And you got to have Obi-Wan Kenobi old, and that's not even...
I don't think they're going there.
All right.
I don't necessarily want them to go.
Hopefully
there.
We'll find out here shortly. All right. I guess that'll do it for that topic. Anything else that you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
So, a new leak suggests that Anakin is coming back in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, there's. I'm not really buying into the leak that I'm reading, and we'll just spoiler it here, and I'm saying it's 50-50 as far as the leak storyline that I've got. But Hayden Christensen sure has been active on the con circuit the last few months. Mm. Makes sense to me that he would be, and we've even talked about it, he could be the Skywalker that rises to battle Palpatine, and he brings balance to the Force that way, which I think would be amazing.
Regarding the Anakin Padme love theme, maybe he's feeling her in the Force, or goes back to the Eon Star as we see in Vader Immortal. And like,
it'll be interesting.
Sees everything that he's done. So yeah. Lucasfilm seems to be moving across London to a new studio location for future Star Wars projects.
Yeah, no, but I don't think it's just kind of cool.
Just maybe just moving studios. Ryan Johnson stuff's gonna happen.
And Benioff Weiss and TV series.
Probably a bigger soundstage.
Yeah. There's a new theory that proposes that Rey's parents are the midichlorians.
What?
That she's a Immaculate Conception, virgin. Force virgins. And the theory goes on, and you guys aren't ready for this. I promise you,
I got a bad feeling about this.
I don't think it's going to be as crazy as the Shmi Skywalker's Rey.
That when Han and Leia may have broken up early on in their marriage or relationship, that the Force created a virgins within Leia, and that Leia is the mother of Rey, and it created doubt and tension between Han and Leia throughout their marriage.
Impressive. Everyone in that sense was wrong.
A rehashing of the story from the Bible, Jesus' story.
Yeah, maybe.
Just like there's no way they're doing that in the movie. It doesn't. No.
No.
Okay.
It was crazy. You're right.
I told you. All right. So let's talk about this week's podcast poll of the week. Again, sponsored by Audible.com. You can go to audibletrial.com/TatooineSons. Get a free trial. Which potential Kenobi storyline most excites you? Force Ghost Qui-Gon secretly aiding the rebellion, a retelling of Twin Sons, or other? Comment below.
The Force Ghost Qui-Gon.
Force Ghost Qui-Gon?
Yes.
Hmm. Yeah.
Me too. All right. That pretty much does it for this week. I want to thank all of our amazing producers that every month contribute financially and send ideas and interact with us on Twitter and Facebook and share our show and are a big part of making this happen every single week. You guys are the best. Our producers, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, Ian Thompson, you guys are awesome. Our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers, Judith Jesse, and Roberto Moreno. If you want to become a Patreon supporter, go to patreon.com/TatooineSons. Learn about how you can do that. We are all over social media. Twitter is where we do most of our communication. We do a lot of sharing of articles and content on Facebook as well on our Facebook page. We have an Instagram page. That's about where we're going to leave that. And then I don't do Snapchat because I don't get it. And we need your reviews. Your reviews are our oxygen.
Yes.
Your reviews mean the world to us. It helps
and
people
there are
find our show.
Ego boosters.
And they are our ego boosters. So please take some time to go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'll read it on the air because you're amazing. I guess that's going to do it for this week's episode. Sonny, anything you want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
This party's over.
Oh, man, do it again. I did it wrong.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.